You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 115.
Number 115.
115, Scott.
And we're in John's comfortable home studio.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be practicing here Thursday, John.
Should we practice in this little room right here?
Sure. Why not? When we practice, it'll be with electronic drums and headphones. And microphones.
Yeah, microphones. Microphones.
Because we got a gig coming up, Johnny.
We do.
January 19th at the Beacon Tap. Well, that's if, you know, Ron hasn't scheduled like the class of 1962.
Geriatrics. The geriatric class.
Oh, I'm going to have to stop. I'm going to have to stop back at my old high school tomorrow, John.
I'm sorry? Why?
You know why?
No.
I am a student at DePaul, and I'm trying to enroll in a class that starts on Monday, but I have a hold on my account because I have not proven my immunization to the university.
Your immunization of what? What are you immune to?
I need
to be immune
five
to?
Shots. Tetanus. I need a tetanus
really?
Shot. Which I have. Diphtheria, measles.
Wow.
Rubella.
Rubella?
Whatever. The shit that we got when we were one, right?
Tetanus.
So I'm communicating with them saying, hey, can I be exempt? I'm really kind of like a part-time student. And under your exemptions, part-time students don't have to provide this stuff. No, they say, no, you need this. So I called the high school on Friday, and I said, yeah, I need some immunization records. I'm wondering if you have them. And they said, yeah, we have records going all the way back to class of 73. And I said, great. I'm going to call somebody and pick those up on Monday. That'll be tomorrow. Then I got to fax them into the university, and then I got to quickly apply for the class, and hopefully there's still some availability. The name of the class? Big Bang. And then something else.
Big Bang. And then something else.
It's something to do with physics in the universe.
Nice. Oh, I can't wait to hear about this now.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah, this fucking teacher is a moron.
No.
Yeah.
I never said that about my other teacher.
Oh, come on.
Not on mic.
Not on mic because he wasn't here, but...
Oh, that's
it's good, isn't it?
That's really good. All right, so the last podcast, 114, was the eve of Christmas Eve. So right. We've made it through Christmas. We've made it through the new year, John. We were going to do one last Sunday. Was it last Sunday?
Yeah.
Which would have been the eve of New Year's Eve.
Right.
But you were under the weather.
Oh, man. I was under the weather like I haven't been since... I was like seven.
What kind of illness did you have?
I had the shits so bad.
The shits, huh?
Yeah.
Do we have to cue the music?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm bringing duty back. Yeah. It's falling out my crack.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Got the goat's ass. Yeah. Get the poopy poopy. Take it to the bridge.
So, yeah. We had like now every weekend since like fucking Thanksgiving, there's been something going on. Some party.
Oh, yeah. It's really hectic.
Decorating everything. I think we decorated the house for Christmas all the way up until Christmas Day. Anyway, so we had some people over and Saturday night, and we had some Olivetti's, my favorite. which you don't like or something.
I
she
like
broke
the
bad
food.
On you.
I like the food. I just do not like, what is her name?
Pam. No, she loves me. She said to the wife, it's okay for you to order, but the mister has to come pick it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she just grosses
me out. She's a big lady. She's huge.
In her little pencil eyebrows or whatever the hell she's got going on.
She's a nice lady, man. She just gets really crabby.
What I like is every month or every 2 months, they have a sign up on the door, wanted, everything. It's like she cleans house. Every month or 2 months, she fires the entire staff.
It could be. She's pretty moody. I had to tell her off once.
She's always in a bad mood around me.
Hey, chill out. I'm sorry, Mr. Morley. Oh, bonk. Who cares? I've had it.
Was that the guy you went to dinner with?
Yeah. Actually, yeah. I got in front of me, Scott, I have the George Bush countdown calendar.
Nice.
Here's one of the things. The very first picture is him in China. It's the snapshot of him trying to open the doors.
What a dope.
And he's making that goofy face. And underneath it says, more and more of our imports come from overseas. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you, W.
Real genius, though.
But anyways, as of today, which is what is it?
It's the 7th.
Is it 7th?
Sixth.
Yeah, it's the 6th. 380 days left, Scott.
380, and Bush is, he's kind of living low.
Yeah.
On the lowdown.
He's living on the lowdown.
I haven't really heard much from him. And we'll talk about
What's
that later.
Fucking point?
Anyway, so...
getting back to the
back
shiznit.
Yeah, so we had a nice time eating tons of Italian food, and I'm like really fucking bloated like I've never been before. I mean...
It's your gluten intolerance, man.
No, you know, I don't... I'm sure I have that, you know, but this was different. It was like everything was like, ugh, just... beyond. So I started drinking to try and take the edge off.
What were you drinking, beer?
No, I was, yeah, I was drinking that wheat beer that I was drinking the other night.
That's going to blow you up even more.
It did. So anyway, Sunday morning I wake up and take a shower and I'm like, God, I feel terrible. I sit on the toilet and... do one of those deals.
What is one of those deals? Can you be more descriptive?
Well, it was a combination of diarrhea and big chunks and a lot of noise.
Oh, where it's like shooting out?
Yeah.
Like a potato gun?
Right. Like a potato gun. And I'm firing away. And I says to the wife, because she's going to drop our kids off, or we're both going to drop our kids off up north to grandma and grandpa's house. And we're going to spend Sunday all the way through New Year's Day, all the way till like 6 o'clock at night together alone. We're going to have some alone time.
Childless.
Childless. Going to see some movies, go out to dinner, you know, all this shit, right? About 15 minutes later, I'm back in there again. I mean, everything is fucking coming out. Actually, it smelled like the finest Italian restaurant, Scott.
Really? I've had those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it smells like that.
So, that keeps happening.
And chewing ice on air is a nice move.
Shut up, ass. So anyway, where was I? Rudely interrupted.
You had your second bout 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
Then what?
Come
on, man.
Shut up. I'm looking for something.
Stay with me.
I'm looking for something. Here we go. It was like this. A lot of that.
Is this an actual recording?
No. a lot of that going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you know, that shit's going on like every 15 minutes. And I says to the wife, you know, you're going to have to take him up. I'm not feeling too good. I said, give me a call when you get there, and we'll see how I feel. Maybe I'll feel better. I'm having some stomach issues. Okay. So she goes, and she calls me. How's it going? Well, by this time, I'm fucking in full spasm, freezing, hot, cold, sweats, the whole 102 fever and everything, right?
Oh, brutal.
And every 15 minutes, I'm going right to the toilet again. Like, and now it's just straight water. It just...
When that happens, doesn't it feel cleansing, though? It's like, wow,
no,
I'm really clean.
It's spooky. It's weird.
Straight water.
You can't control it, man. It's just.
Oh, you can't control it?
Oh, no.
Like
it was
a tap?
It was a tap, man. It was just blasting out. I mean, it was brutal. Yeah, it was like, and then I'd sit there and wait, and then it would just go start again. So anyway, I got this sleep apnea thing, right?
Right on.
And the wife says, you know what? I'll call you later. I'll stay away from the house. I'll do some shopping and stuff. I got returns to do. You know, maybe you'll be feeling better.
So this is after she drops the kids off. She's going to let you do whatever you need to
do.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
And it's just... It's a lot like this right here.
Now, how long does this go on?
All fucking day.
All day.
Night. So, I get to sleep apnea, and I'm really wanna. I gotta get to sleep, man. I can't sleep. I take a couple of Tylenol. I lay down. I put the CPAP machine on because I got to wear one of these now. I got the thing on, and I must have nodded off.
Like into a deep?
Deep, deep sleep.
Oh, no.
All of a sudden, I feel this hot sensation coming out of my ass, and I jump up and start running to the bathroom. And the CPAP's still on me, and it, like, pulls my face around like Urlacher doing a face mask on me. Now, I didn't quite go down, but I pulled the thing off the table, and and this thing looks like a big alien on your face, right? So I got to wrestle it off my head, jump in the bathroom. Okay, that's one pair of underwear down. Jump in the shower. Throw on some new ones. The wife calls. I said, yeah, I'm not doing so good. I had a little accident.
Was it contained?
Yeah,
within
it was contained.
Your underwear?
It was contained.
So it wasn't like you had to call hazmat or anything?
No hazmat to be called. So I told her, you know, yeah, just... And as I'm talking to her, I go, so anyway, I got to go. And I throw the phone down, don't even hang it up, and run back in there. Again, same thing, the whole same routine. Over and over, like in 15-minute intervals.
With a fever, too.
With a fever.
Oh, that's brutal.
So anyway...
You should have weighed yourself before and after.
So here's the thing that I got to work the next day. I got a big inventory to get ready for, you know. So I got to work on New Year's Eve. Oh. So I finally get to sleep about 3 in the morning. And I wake up again. Only this time I feel it shooting up my back. And all over.
Were you alone?
I was alone, yeah.
Okay. That's good.
And I get up and I run in again, and this time it's on my shirt, my back, all over. I got to jump in the shower. I look at the sheets, and you could see the blast line.
Did you photograph it? We could post that.
No.
The blast.
Yeah. Just. I swear to God, this has never in fucking all my years ever happened to me. But
does it make you want to go out and get Depends in case it happens
again? Yeah, really. I was thinking there's got to be next time. What do I do? I mean, is there some way to contain this? But no, the force was too powerful.
The force. Let the force be with
you. The force was with me, and then it escaped me.
Right up your back.
Right on my back, like a fucking infant. So, when you called before that, I'm like, oh, dude, I can't do it. I'm not feeling too good. And, 3 in the morning. And then finally, the wife had left me some Imodium D.
What does that do?
It's a anti-diarrhea. Diarrheal.
Does it just shut the tetanus, or does it like chunk it up? What does it do?
It does something. It like backs it up for a while. Actually, it backs it up for about a fucking week. Let's put it that way. I finally had a normal shit this morning. Actually, last night. So yeah, this thing backs it up. Plus, it's got some sort of anti-gas in it or something. And it got me through
your work day. Nice.
The next day, but everybody's like, oh, dude,
man,
what is wrong with you, man?
You smell really bad.
No.
Did you blast something like out the back
end? No, I was I totally cleaned up, man.
Totally.
I took the sheets off. I washed the mattress. I ground it into the mattress as deep as I could. So I cleaned it all up, man, at 3 in the morning. And then laid a towel on it and laid on the wet spot.
Nice.
And fell back asleep and woke up for work, went to work, came back home. And you know, you got that hollow feeling like you vomited for hours, you know, but through the other direction.
So do you still have an appetite? Or?
Oh, yeah.
So you're still
Do you think I fucking stop eating? I never stop.
Did you stop eating?
Yeah, I stopped eating for 2 days straight.
Nice. Yeah, I had pneumonia once, and I didn't eat for 2 weeks. I lost like 35 pounds in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I must have lost some weight because I was cranking the belt a couple extra notches, and pants were still kind of dragging on me. And I noticed my cankles were gone.
Nice.
I mean, they were just like, the wife says, you're dehydrated. I'm worried. Maybe you need to go to the hospital. I said, honey, I retain so much water. I'm like a fucking camel. I'm fine. And I know when I reach the point where I'm so sick that I got to go to the hospital. There's just like a little thing that clicks in me that goes, okay, that's beyond manageable. And I was almost to that point, almost to it.
Almost.
But I like started this quick recovery, breaking the fever. Okay, that's the first step. Then New Year's Eve, came home, said, you know what? I can't go out. I'll have to meet you. And I ended up meeting her at about 10 o'clock at night.
So you made it.
To ring in the new year in the snow outside.
You still have a fever?
Probably.
Ah, you stupid ass. I would have stayed home. I was in bed by 10 on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. You pussy.
I wasn't even sick. That is the one great thing about being really ill, is the weight loss.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the sickest I have been in a long time. I mean, I get sick, but and I'm a big baby when I'm sick, but this was real fucking sick, man.
So how long did it last?
It was 24 hours, but it took all week for my body to recover because my colon and intestines had just like deflated to nothing. You know, there was nothing in them.
Well, the thing is, your kids are up north, and you can't even utilize that time when you're childless because sick.
No movie, nothing. I didn't get anything done. And New Year's Day, I think the most I did was maybe watch Illinois get their ass kicked.
Oh, in the Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
Was it the Rose Bowl?
Yeah. And then went out to dinner with my parents and had went out to dinner and actually had an appetite, but food just doesn't taste right when you're sick.
Yeah, I can't eat when I'm sick. I'm surprised you can still eat. I can't eat at all.
Well, I figure the best way to get back on track is to eat. You got to have something, and I stuck with just protein. I stuck with the protein.
Nice.
I did, like, for breakfast, just bagels and cream cheese, because I felt that was the only thing I was going to be able to handle. But New Year's Day, I went to the steak. I had steak and stuffed shrimp, and that's it. That's all I ate. And then I called you on the way home. Yeah, man, it's run late. I don't know. And you're like, there's no way I can do it. All right, then. Bye-bye.
Right.
You hung up on me.
Yeah, I had to get going. Yeah. I had a lot of... I'm very busy, man.
I hear that. Yeah, I hear
very
you.
Busy. So, Christmas. Did you get any kick-ass gifts?
No.
Nothing? No kick-ass gifts for Christmas?
Here's how this goes down.
You got
down.
Gifts, but no here, kick-ass gifts.
No, here's how this goes down. Let me tell you the play here. I said, okay, honey, we just did an addition. It's very expensive.
We did the same thing.
Let's not get anything for each other at all. Is that cool? I mean, you know, you want a new kitchen, we'll get that. You want a new washer and dryer, we'll do that, whatever. Okay, yeah, that's a great idea. So I did get her a couple of things. I got her like a vanity seat and a computer, you know, portable computer cart, you know, that sits next to the couch because she's got this laptop, you know, and that's about it. I got some cologne. Let's see what else. Cologne, yeah.
That's it?
And some candy.
Was it that Callum Best cologne?
What?
Callum Best.
What the fuck is that?
Some guy.
No.
In the UK for Boxing Day where they re-gift.
Yeah.
That was the most re-gifted item.
Nice.
So people got it for Christmas, and they're like, I don't want this smelly piss. And they would gift it back up and give it to somebody else.
No, I got some nice cologne. But I got my wife some perfume and you know, just those two things. So what does she do? She gets herself a brand new mixer.
What kind?
KitchenAid.
Oh, nice.
The large one.
Oh, yeah. Right on.
Because a wire broke.
Wait a minute. She gets herself?
Yeah. And then like a $350 briefcase. Okay. All right. We're not going to get each other anything, but you can get yourself all the fucking shit
well, yeah,
you want.
Yeah, you didn't say that. You didn't say that you couldn't get yourself stuff.
So anyway. Oh, she got me some video games or something.
The wife and I do the same thing.
I'm just kidding. She it's her money. She can get what she wants.
We make the same arrangement, right? And then she goes out and gets me stuff. And then I look bad in front of the kids.
Did you get a card?
I got stuff.
Did you get a card for the wife?
No. I didn't get anything.
Dude.
Because we said we just built a house. The house will be our gift for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
So we won't get each other anything. And then she goes and gets me something.
Oh, you fucked up, man.
So I look like a dick.
You did.
Speaking of the wife, if we have the capability, can we give her a call? She wanted to contribute something to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, dial her up. See if she's available.
This works.
She might not be available.
All right, dialing. I am dialing.
We'll see if it works. We haven't even tested this. That's the kind of show we run. Yo, yo, yo.
Yeah, this is the kind of show we run, man. Just totally...
there's not a lot of preparation.
No.
I mean,
no.
If we had the time, I'd like to do a lot more preparation.
Right.
Maybe even some bits, John. Some bits.
Who has time for that?
I don't have time for that.
So anyway.
My wife keeps having this reoccurring dream that we're going to win the lotto.
Yeah.
So I'm banking on that. Hopefully that'll happen.
Hello?
Hello.
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 Hi. Did it go to the answering machine?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I guess she doesn't want to pick up then.
I guess not. You want me to call again?
I don't know. Should we try one more time?
One more time.
All right. One more time.
One more time. There we go.
I heard that.
That's the way it should sound.
That's a good sign. And I'm hearing the ringing. That is a good sign, John.
That's a good sign. We're ringing Mrs. Scott. Let's try.
If she answers, say, Total Talk Nonsense, I'm John.
Hello. We are not.
Ah.
Please leave your name.
Let's leave a message. Go ahead.
We will return your call.
Total Talk Nonsense. This is John.
And I'm Scott.
What am I supposed to say?
That's it.
I guess you're not here. All right. We'll talk later. Give us a call. Call us at, what's our number?
I don't know.
It's,
go to the website.
TTNGIZD. GIZD.
Is it 847?
847 it is.
847 TTNGIZD.
GIZD. GIZD. All right then.
All right then. All right, now, John, for me, I had a wonderful Christmas.
I did, too. I'm just, it was great. It
as
was
far
fantastic.
As gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I got a lot of books.
Books.
From the lovely wife.
Nice.
And she even stated, yeah, I got you these books. I thought they would be good for the podcast.
Let me play some backing music for Christmas. What'd you get?
I got, you're familiar with Cecil Adams.
Cecil Adams.
Yeah, I guess there's some other guy who does the same type of thing. So she got me a couple of those books.
Oh, cool.
So I've been reading those, and she got me one other one. I can't remember the title, but they are fodder for upcoming podcasts.
Nice.
Potentially. Potentially,
nice
John.
Potential fodder.
And then
mutter and fodder.
So Christmas Eve we went to the in-laws. Christmas Day we went to the in-laws, and I think the day after we went to the in-laws. So it was all about the in-laws this Christmas, which was fun. Did you ever play spoons with cards? Spoons?
No,
that's a pretty
what
fun
the
game.
Fuck?
Oh, you remember the
remember? Do I remember?
The gig we had, we did the high school graduation gig.
Yeah.
And those two kids came out and they said, hey, my friend's psychic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Emma and I worked that whole arrangement out.
Yeah?
And people were impressed.
Nice.
Yeah, they were impressed.
Black magic,
and
right?
I was doing Penn and Teller card tricks and people were impressed. They couldn't figure it out.
That's out of sight.
So I then.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you. You, John.
No. Mine's too long.
Okay. So then, moving on to New Year's Eve, you know what I did?
No.
The family and I went to the Botanic Garden. It's not funny, John.
I have to shoot myself in the face.
They have a really kick-ass train thing.
I know.
I can't even describe it.
I know. It's pretty cool. I've seen it on the news.
And then,
I've always wanted to do it.
We were in bed by 10, and then New Year's Day, we started a new family tradition. We're going to go to the Field Museum on New Year's Day.
And get chomped by a tiger?
No. Not a zoo.
Oh.
The Field Museum.
Oh, Field Museum. Zoo, museum. I'm not from your town.
So what the wife did is she got me tickets to the Darwin exhibit.
Oh,
right?
Nice.
Well, she got them for the whole family. So we walk into this Darwin exhibit, and it was the last day it was there at the Field Museum in Chicago. And we brought our little walkie-talkies, you know?
Yeah.
So 10 minutes into the exhibit, I'm about 10 feet into this thing, and I get a call from the wife. Yeah, we're already out because she's with the kids. And the kids' attention span. Yeah, kids aren't interested in this at all. You know, they want to see the T-Rex and all the other stuff. So I said, well, I'm still in here. And I spent like the next 45 minutes in this exhibit. Totally digging it. And I learned stuff I didn't even know, John. Like, for example, Darwin's grandfather, Aramis. I think that's what his name was. Aramis Darwin.
Aramis.
He's the one who, they didn't call it evolution back then. They called it, I can't even remember, transformation or some shit like that. But he was the one who came up with the original idea that we're all descended from...
apes?
Not apes, but from a common ancestor.
Right, right.
So he was the one who came up with the idea, but he didn't have the mechanism for evolution. So, for example, Aramis? He thought that, for example, if you have a dog, a breed of dog, like a Rottweiler,
yeah,
and you dock its tail, you keep docking its tail,
right?
Pretty soon the puppies
no
won't
tail.
Have tails,
right?
Which is not right. So he had the idea of evolution, but he didn't have the mechanism that made it work. And so then you go, you move further into the exhibit, and you go on Darwin with his five-year expedition on a boat. The guy was on a boat for 5 years, and he was seasick the whole goddamn time. And it was only supposed to take 2 years. That would piss me off to no end.
Right.
But he was only 22. So he goes around the world on this boat, and he's got this idea of evolution in his mind already from his grandfather. But his role was putting together the mechanism for how it works. Natural selection.
Right. Nice.
So they even have a notebook that here's the first time Darwin jotted down the phrase natural selection. I'm like, oh, that is fucking kick ass. And I look down at the notebook. I can't read shit. The guy's got great handwriting. But what I need to know is, does ink kind of spread out as the years go on? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Kind
at
of
one time, could somebody read this?
Saturates the
Because
page.
Nobody can read it now. I could not find the term natural selection in this page of a notebook. It was unreadable.
Excuse me, could somebody show me here?
Yeah, somebody, I need some help.
I want to see some real empirical evidence.
But because they had like the poster board above it that said... Here's the first time he mentioned natural selection and wrote it down.
So it's got to be.
Yeah,
there.
I took their word for it because you can't even read it. It's unreadable. It was, but so then I get out of that exhibit, and then they have this other exhibit called The Evolving Planet, and it takes you through all the periods of Earth. So they start out with the Precambrian.
Earth.
The Precambrian, John.
Okay. I got it,
Scott. So the Earth is like 4.6 billion years old. The Precambrian takes up 90% of that time.
Wow.
90%. And at the very end of it is when you get your first living organisms. And then you walk through all the other phases of Earth's history. And you take the Darwin exhibit... And you take the Evolving Planet exhibit, and if you have any intellect at all, you can rule out creationism. Just walking through these two exhibits. Like if you're a goddamn alien from another planet, and you come over here, and you walk through these two exhibits, you figure out that evolution is happening. It's the way to go.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But no, we still got dopes.
But no.
In America, John.
No doubt.
I think more than 50% that believe in creationism. And it makes my goddamn stomach turn.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
unbelievable.
Well, can I interject a little something?
Of course.
I I was sitting in my office the other day, and I'm going to get to my point, but this part's funny. I told you about this. I'm sitting in my office. The president of our company comes down. He's British. He introduced me to a new guy of the company. And he sees on my desk a movie that you and I got to watch. I got it as a gift. It's called The Nativity Story. DVD.
From who?
From a born-again Christian.
Really?
At work.
We got to check that out.
Yeah, he gave it to me.
Is that with the chicken Whale Rider?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, yeah.
So he says, so what's this here? Is this, don't tell me this is the actual movie. It's got to be a pornograph. Whoa! With that, let's get into the heavy metal. It's got to be a porno. And I said, no, it's not a porno. It's the actual movie. It was given to me by one of the other employees who's a born-again Christian. Oh, so he's a bit religious, is he? I said, yeah. And I take it you're not. I said, not in the least. That's what I figured, he said. He says, by the way, and I told you this, right? I said, he says, so did you make any New Year's resolutions? Like maybe see in the gym a couple of times.
Why would he say that?
Because I'm a little overweight. I don't know if you noticed.
Have you ever seen the gym in your life?
Yeah.
Really?
Dude, man,
when?
I was a wrestler.
After high school.
I did.
When?
I used to work out at the Charlie Club.
Really?
Yeah.
The one that was open 24 hours?
Yeah. I used to work out at the one on D Road, I think, and the one here on
Elmhurst.
Elmhurst.
Right.
Yeah. I'd be working out, bench pressing, there'd be a dude doing curls in his fucking jeans.
Nice.
Like he just got out of prison, man. I'd be like, what the fuck? Because all I did was lifted weights. I didn't do any of that running shit or biking or nothing.
Yeah, fuck that.
Weights only. So anyway. You going to visit the gym? I said, I have a gym at home. He says, what's his last name? You fucker. Listen, you bald, skinny bastard. Anyways, we have our Christmas party after Christmas because it was so fucking busy at the end of the year
that we couldn't
squeeze it in. So we had it this last Friday.
Holiday party.
Yeah,
Jim,
holiday
right?
party. Holiday.
Yeah,
so we're
Christmas. There's a war on Christmas.
We're standing there, and he comes up to me, and I'm waiting for my beer, and he's standing there with me and two other guys from the IT department. And we start doing the one-liners back and forth. And I'm just fucking slaying them, man. I am slaying them left and right with the quick jokes, you know.
Right, right.
You know those fucked up jokes I tell all the time
right on,
that
yeah.
you've heard a million of them?
Yeah.
And I'm just nailing them. Bam, bam, bam. Gay joke after another. You know, why are condoms ribbed? Better traction in the mud, you know. Shit like that, right?
Right.
And here comes the guy who gave me the DVD. He walks up. And the Brit president of the company says, so let me I take it you're the one who gave John the DVD of the Nativity Story. Yeah, yeah, I did. That's great. Why? Are you real religious? He goes, no, I'm probably the biggest atheist now in America. I'm like, yeah! And we high-fived. Scott, I broke it. I broke it just for that moment.
You high-fived the president.
I did. I high-fived the president of our company because he committed to being the biggest atheist in America.
You're on your way up. You're going up,
yeah.
John.
I said, there's two right here, my friend. I said, I'm going to give you a book as soon as I finish it. I'm sure you haven't read it, Christopher Hitchens.
Of course he's read it, Christopher
God is
Hitchens
not
is from...
He has not.
He hasn't?
Has not read it.
What kind of atheist? How could he claim to be the biggest atheist?
He's been living in Singapore.
Oh, okay. I'll give him that. Singapore, which is like hell on earth, right?
So,
oh, no, I'm thinking of somewhere else.
I have a kindred spirit in atheism.
And he's the president of the company.
Yeah.
Right on.
Can you believe it?
That's out of sight.
And he was showing everybody this trick with two corks. And I'm pretty fucked up by this time. It's the end of the night.
Corks.
Put a cork in each between the thumb and forefinger. And then you have to grab the top and the bottom of each cork.
Who does?
And then try, well, you, the person holding the corks. So okay. He'll hold the corks.
He'll hold the corks.
In his hands right. Between in the gap in the V between the thumb and the forefinger, right?
Right.
And then he turns both hands so one is perpendicular to the floor.
Do we need a video podcast for this?
Maybe.
Okay.
One is on top and one is like horizontal. One is perpendicular, one is horizontal. Is that correct?
Vertical have no idea.
And horizontal. So you're pinching the top and the bottom of the cork on one hand, pinching the side and the top and bottom.
I think I've got it.
So when you try to pull them apart, you can't.
Can't do it. Right.
They lock into like a T. And he says you got to be able to pull them apart. He does it like three times in a row. He shows me how and he. He locks his fingers together, and all of a sudden, magically, he comes apart. I go, one more time. And he does it. And I'm like, okay, give him to me. I do it. I'm holding him. And he's fucking antagonizing me. Just pull him apart. Pull him apart. Just one over the other. Pull apart. I'm like, shut up. Let me do this. I wrap the fingers around. I did it. Nice. He's like, you did it. It's brilliant. Brilliant.
Brilliant, mate.
Everybody's like, Marley, I miss this guy. And there I go again. Kabonk.
Brilliant, mate.
You did it. You did it. You did it.
Okay, so then the point of the story is?
Well, he told me it was my review.
Oh, really?
And so I aced it.
So you ace your review, so you got exceeds expectations.
That's right, my friend.
On your review.
Because I can think outside the box.
That's out of sight. Out of sight. All right, let's move on, John.
And he's an atheist.
Let's see. Oh, I ran into Phil at Target.
Phil Whitcomb?
Not Phil the newsman. Oh. Phil the bass player.
Oh, hey.
Ran into
wasn't he in that movie Superbad?
No. He might have been.
I swear to God, he's the guy with the hooded jacket.
Ran into Phil at Target. I was there to pick up some movies. I asked Phil why he was there, and he told me, but I can't remember. He was just kind of lurking, you know. So we had a conversation, and I brought up the catheter reunion. He had no idea that this was going on. None.
Well, it's, you know,
nobody
a
talked
Marty
to Phil
thing.
About the catheter reunion. Now, oh. How could that be?
I don't know. It's Marty's the one who... He we were shaking hands at his birthday party, and he was really drunk, and he brought it up, and I said, nah, come on. Come on, man. Come on. I said, all right, if Zach does it, I'll do it. Yeah! And he hugs me around the neck, and he, like, licks me, and I'm like, what did I do? I said, one gig only.
And if you don't know, if you're a new fan of TTN,
Catheter is
a band that John was in.
It's a band.
He was the drummer, and he left. He quit the band. John quit the band right when they were on their rise to superstardom. And now they're considering having a reunion tour. Now, there is also a Catheter movie on Google Video, and if they do have the reunion tour... Oh, I see you grabbing the Knob Creek over there.
What?
I was wondering why you gave me my own bottle of Knob Creek.
It's because I have one my own.
Yeah, we're in separate rooms. I could just see his hand grab the Knob Creek. Yeah, where was I? Oh, so if they do the reunion, and we'll film some of it, and if we ever put a DVD together, it'll be the...
I doubt it's going to happen. This is why, because yesterday, Brian, who we've been trying to get on the show, the Reverend Weed, he told me that...
Well, wait a minute, he's an original catheter member.
He's an original catheter member.
But he wasn't there...
He was jettisoned from the pod.
He was jettisoned, yes, and you could see that in the film.
File footage.
He was jettisoned. File footage.
His hand was caught in a garbage disposal. Well, anyway, he told me some things that I found interesting. He's been seeing a doctor, and he has this condition where his body like blasts all kind of potassium. I don't know if it injects it into him or it just launches it and it's gone. And he cramps up constantly. And he used to cramp up playing guitar. And
is that his excuse?
Like he'd be playing chords and he'd be like,
yeah, he did do that.
He'd
yeah.
do that. You know, he'd make that face. And doctor found out that he's got this high blood pressure and he's like on four different kinds of medication.
What about Brandon, his identical twin?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that an issue with Brandon?
I didn't ask him. Anyway, so he's in this band with Marty, ex-catheter, and they are looking to play a gig.
Phil did mention that to me.
So they're playing like some new songs they wrote
yes.
with this new drummer, and I guess Marty's singing, and they got like eight new songs, and then they're playing catheter songs as covers.
Wait a minute, so Phil's on bass?
Yeah. No. Brian's playing bass.
Phil's playing guitar.
Marty's playing guitar, and this guy named Art's playing drums.
Art is playing drums.
Maybe we could get them all to come over here.
Yeah.
For
Why don't we do that?
A show.
Well, Phil's a listener, so yeah. he'll let us know.
I'll reach out to him.
Plus, I have his prize for Festivus Titanus for Redneck Recital. I have his prize. That is an outstanding idea,
yeah.
John.
I'll reach out to him, see if we can get this art guy.
Wait a minute. They get this art guy to play drums?
I play
drums. They could ask me to play drums. They don't ask me.
No, this guy plays drums.
What are you saying?
You beat him.
You beat
the drums to death. I've never heard somebody play so hard as you, man. You're a hard player.
I do play hard.
You do. Could you play a little softer? No.
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 Are you
I don't
in the right band?
So.
All right, moving on, John.
I think you play with those like little Cub souvenir bats.
What is the name of this new band?
I think it's called the Gene Yass.
Wait a minute.
I'm not kidding.
Can you spell that?
Gene. Like is in Gene, G-E-N-E.
Like a guy's Gene?
Yeah, Gene.
Gene?
Yass. Either Yaz or Yass.
Yes.
Y-A-Z-Z or Y-A-S-S. They have a website somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to check that out.
There's some tunes on it, too.
All right, so if you guys want to get the band in here, because after Thursday, we'll have a band set up, because we're practicing, right?
Yeah.
So if they want to come in and do some live jamming on TTN, give us a call. Shoot us an email, and we'll set that up.
At 847 TTN Giz, G-I-Z-D, 847 TTN G-I-Z-D.
Gene Yass.
Yeah, Gene Yass.
All right, John, well, I saw a movie.
You did?
Yeah, in the past 2 weeks. I actually bought this movie.
You did?
I bought the movie. I took it home. I put it in the DVD player. I put the kids to bed. The wife and I watched the movie. The wife lasted 25 minutes and said, yeah, I can't watch this anymore.
What movie?
And she went to bed. I watched the whole movie, John.
The whole movie.
Superbad. Have you seen Superbad?
Oh, it's got to be one of the best movies I've ever seen.
I cannot disagree with you more.
Did you laugh your ass off or what?
I did not.
You didn't?
I didn't. I did
laugh. Are
you
serious?
I did. There were times when I laughed. I did laugh. I thought McLovin, I thought that was a great character.
Jiggy, jiggy, yeah. Jiggy, wow.
But the guy with the fro, which one was he?
Oh,
was he Evan
Seth.
Or was he Seth?
He was hilarious.
I did not find him hilarious at all.
Oh, my God.
Not
at all.
Fucking
retarded.
Every time he started talking, I thought back to high school. And I was thinking, did anybody talk like this ever? Nobody ever talked like that.
Then
nobody
obviously you never
like
met me.
I never did.
You didn't
you in
know
high
me till after high school.
I knew you after high school.
That dude was me in high school.
That was you.
Oh,
wait a minute.
I totally identified with this knucklehead, except for the hugging part at the end. I was like, wait a minute.
What about
a little gay?
What about drawing penises
everywhere? Outside of
that. Is that something else
you identified
with?
No, I never drew a penis.
I mean, that was...
Well, I might have, but I didn't draw as many as he did.
Very homoerotic right there. So I'm here.
How could you not laugh? We got to watch it again.
We do have to watch it. We got to watch
cannot
it.
Believe.
Well, the one thing is, I'm
anytime a guy gets hit by a car two times, it's fucking hilarious.
Understand? I understand that the you got the slapstick moments, like where McLovin gets hit during the robbery, and they keep playing it over again. Okay, I understand that. That's funny. That's it's.
That was great.
I always find humor in somebody else's misery. That's funny. But the other stuff was so over the top.
You are so full of shit.
Unbelievable.
Can you possibly?
To me.
I cannot believe it. You are an old fucking man.
I'm not an old man.
You are such a piece of fucking old shit. You know that?
First of all.
You conservative piece
of
crap.
Seth's drawing of penises disturbing.
Okay, that was disturbing. But the fact that you say that, did anybody talk like that? You are so full of shit. You talked just like that when you were 18 years old.
Hey, these kids are in high school. They're not 18. When I was 18, I had already graduated.
They were 18. This is their senior year.
Senior year. Right.
Whatever.
When I was a senior, I was already, I was only 17.
Whatever, 17,
whatever
it is.
Whatever.
Whatever the age is.
Who cares? It's high school. Nobody talk like that in high
school.
Bullshit. You talk like that in high school?
Dude, I dated a girl that told me that. I was like, why did you not like me when we're neighbors? I mean, you constantly ripped on me and made fun of me. She says, because you constantly said the F word. And I was like in sixth grade.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about the
fucking
way
this,
they talk.
Fucking that.
Sure, people said fuck, fuck, fuck this, fuck that. I'm talking about the content of what they talked about. The content. I mean, it was all about vajay, the vag, this, getting a woman drunk.
Only one guy.
Well, that was Seth, only the one guy who drew penises constantly.
And I disagree.
Which was a contradiction.
If you're drawing
penises constantly,
I disagree.
Why are you talking about the vajay?
Because he's repressed, man. He's
No, he's confused about his own sexuality, is what I'm saying.
I know, that long look at the end on the escalator
right on.
Was kind of revealing.
Right on.
Oh, I don't know what to do here.
So what else about the movie? Oh, the other thing is the woman who had the period on his leg. Come on, that's not going to happen.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. You have a real-life example of that?
I am not going to discuss that on this show.
All right. All right. So you're saying a woman could be at a party
Absolutely.
Grind.
Ask my wife.
Oh, all right. I think you've said enough.
No. I'm saying that ask her that it's possible. Ask your own wife if it's possible. Of
all right,
course it's possible.
Let's talk about the two cops.
She's wearing a skirt.
Let's talk about the two cops.
That's completely
unbelievable.
Come on,
that is completely
unbelievable.
Come on. Like
we watched
the Academy.
Shut your fucking ass. We watched The Wedding Crashers, and you laughed yourself into a headache.
I did.
And there was no way that is fucking possible.
How do you know that? Vaughn is a very charming guy.
Yeah, Vince Vaughn could make a fucking balloon bicycle. Yeah.
So is Owen Wilson. He's very charming.
So goddamn talented. He made a balloon bicycle for a kid. There you go. Yeah, come on.
Come on. Somebody had to make it. Why couldn't it have been Vince Vaughn's character?
Look, I used to make balloon animals. I could make a 10-speed bike out of a fucking balloon.
For me, the cops were the funniest part, but they were
totally.
But they were over the top. I mean, it was so unrealistic. So then, At the end of the movie,
the whole movie is about being way over the top. With the whole thing is tongue in cheek, way over the top.
Well, I'll have to watch it with you because we did talk about this on a previous show. That when I watch movies with my wife, there's a certain, I guess, expectation of my reaction.
And
So if we watch it, maybe I'll, you know.
You know, you need to shed that shell, my friend.
Shed
and be
the shell.
Yourself.
Well, no, I did laugh out loud a couple of times. And I thought there were
your
three
wife,
times.
Scott,
three times I laughed out
your
loud.
Your wife should be disgusted with your
sophomore
taste in humor. Absolutely.
Yeah, but there
you
was
would
even
not
things-
be a guy. If you didn't have that sophomore taste in humor.
Understood. But there were even things that I was like, oh, come on. And then
me too,
you read about the movie
like
and you find out that it was written when these kids were 13 years old. And then it's like, oh, okay, it makes sense now. 13-year-olds wrote this movie. But then the very end.
The movie was great.
The
man.
Very end, I thought I was going to watch like some sort of portal.
A little portal.
It's like, what the hell's going on here? What two guys sleep on the floor so they can be next to each other and then profess their love for each other?
Who hasn't?
Oh, I've never done that.
No.
That is, no. I am not homophobic, but if don't get me in that situation, that's not going to happen.
You've been totally drunk. Like, this is what I didn't get on that movie, is when I was talking to somebody about this, they're like chugging bottles of vodka. I don't know. I remember one party I ever was at where people are holding full bottles of liquor. And
right, right. That never happened.
I mean, you know, Bones one time with a Boda bag of
yeah,
Jack
but that's
Daniels.
When we were like 30.
No. It wasn't when we were like 30.
When was it?
I was at a party at Dave Salerno's house.
Salerno. Oh, right.
Or somebody's house.
Right.
Sabonk. And he's firing shots of JD down everybody's throat with his Boda bag, and I had to take this other Scott home to my house because he was drinking beers that had cigarette butts in them.
Oh, that's brutal.
And
like, Spalding, right?
Yeah, you don't know how many people I've had stay at my house all fucked up, and my mom. I'll give you an example. Back in the days when I did a lot of drugs.
Yeah. You did drugs?
With Joe, our first guy.
Our first guest.
He and I used to do a lot of drugs together. Some of the hard shit, too, man. Some major stuff, okay? Well, Joe used to work...
Wait a minute. You're not going to tell me a story about... my voice just broke. I pressed the button.
Faggot.
You're not going to tell me a story about you guys, like... getting sleeping bags and lying down next to each other and professing
your
true love.
What's wrong with that?
No, if you're going to tell that story, I just want to be
prepared. No, I'm not going to tell that story. I'm going to tell the story of my mom wanting to punch him in the face.
Punch Joe in the face?
Yeah. He used to work from like 7. No, I'm sorry. Till 7 in the morning. And then he'd go and bowl. With the people he worked with. And then he'd do, you know.
It's 7 in the morning?
Yeah. And then he'd do lots of drugs and drinking until I got off of work at like 6. And I'd have this dude, was I 21? I can't remember. I'm not sure if I was old. Yeah, I was 21. I'd go buy a case of Old Style and then pick him up. And then we go to my house and party, and he'd be so fucking exhausted. One time a couple times I had to let him stay in my room. And my room was in the attic. So it was like a small apartment in my parents' house. And I let him stay up there a couple times. One time my mom says, that's it. He can't fucking stay here. I don't want him ODing or whatever the fuck you guys are doing up there. I don't know what's going on. I want him out. All right, Joe, you got to go.
Why?
What the fuck? What's the problem? Why can't I sleep? My mom wants you out. All right. So we walk downstairs. He looks at my mom and goes, what's your fucking problem? To my mom.
Nice.
Get the fuck out of here, you fucking asshole. Mom, relax. I fucking can't. She flipped out on Joe. And I'm like, Joe, get out, man. She's going to kill you. And that was it, man.
Wow.
That's my story.
That is a good story.
And after that, Joe and I got to this point where...
You started boofing each other?
No. We said, we got to stop this shit. We're going way beyond our limits.
Yeah.
And
we did. Kissing me.
We stopped in the place he used to go to, this bar, got hit by the DEA.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That could have been
big
you guys.
Crackdown.
You
yeah,
just
no
be
doubt.
Getting out of prison right now.
No, no.
20 years they give you for that shit.
Not me. I never went
no,
there.
No, you never
just
went
Joe.
There. Just Joe.
Joe and I have
did
some
Janelle
stories.
Did Janelle know all this before
no.
she married him?
I told this story, and Janelle looked at him. Like, what the fuck? Who the fuck did I marry? Now, Joe is one of the greatest family men I've ever met. He's a stay-at-home dad. He's great with his kids. He's a coach for football and baseball and all this shit. He's fucking fantastic. You would never know this guy had this past with me. Which my past is
this
a little
homosexual
jaded.
Past
no, not homosexual, you freak. Why don't you tell the story about your homosexual past where you got locked in a bedroom with some dude and you had to scream for help.
Right,
tell
and I got out
that
of that
story.
Situation.
I'm going to tell your mom.
This guy named George, who we were both in seventh grade, but he was one of these guys who went through puberty when he was like eight. So he was like 6'4". And I was 5'2". Go up to his room. He's telling me a story about the guy down the block that was looking at some Playboys and talking about jerking off and asked him, hey, so you want to jerk off? You want to do that? And George was like, no, I don't want to. You queer, you faggot, you homo. And I'm like, yeah, that fucking faggot. You know, because his voice had already changed. Mine hadn't. Oh, yeah, what a queer fag. So then George turns around and looks at me and he says, so what do you say? You want to do that? Do what? What are you talking about? You know, you want to, like,
jerk off?
Jerk off in front of each other? Now, fortunately for me, his family was out in the backyard.
It's gay.
And I noticed the window was open in the family, and I said, and he got this, like, menacing, evil look. This grin on his face where he's licking his chops, and he got in like a wrestler pose in front of his door.
Let me see your anus.
Like, you're not getting out of this room until, you know, I get to violate you. And hey man, you better let me out of this room or I'm gonna scream outside. You're a fucking faggot, man. Oh, hey, man.
Hey,
I was
man.
Just kidding.
Relax.
I was kidding, man. Come on.
Relax. Bend over.
Do you know what I'm kidding?
Touch your ankles.
Come here. I was kidding. And I got out of that situation. If the parents were not in
dude.
The backyard, I don't know. I mean, I would have... there's a fight or,
yeah.
or flee. I would have definitely had both of those. But
oh,
I would,
yeah.
I would fight. Like, you hear these stories about men.
Yeah.
Who get raped? How is that possible? I mean, I would do everything possible to not have somebody shove something up my ass. I mean, and it would seem easy, right? I don't know.
Apparently not for
I guess if you're,
altar
if,
boys.
If there's like a knife or a gun to your head, then you gotta. Maybe submit, but other than that, come on, it's just not
no,
gonna happen.
Yeah.
All right. So, what do you give? What do you rate this super bad there?
Oh, how many Normans do we total?
Four out of four.
I'd say 3.5.
Are
easily.
You serious?
Oh, fucking A, dude.
I say two.
I was dying.
Two.
Here's how I saw it. Okay. I read this article on Dig about LimeWire, so I downloaded it. And I downloaded the movie.
The movie?
From LimeWire. The movie. and watched it that way over 3 days because every 5 minutes the kids would come down. What are you watching, Dad?
Right.
None of your damn business. Back up. Because every freaking word, they're talking about the vajayjay.
Or the fuck.
Yeah, whatever. Cock. And so I watched it. Now I'm going to buy the movie for sure.
Well, I do think there's a redeeming...
I cannot believe you didn't like that movie. How the fuck can you
give it two stars?
Clerks and not that?
Oh, come on. You compare Clerks, a classic, with Superbad? Superbad.
You watch Clerks now for the first time, and you'll be like, what the fuck
is that? No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. No. Nope. Yeah. You're an old fucking cud, man. Why don't you curl up in your old man room, you know, with your little study and your fucking cardigan sweater and your pipe?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever, old man.
So here's the reason.
Old man.
It's 2 stars.
What are you going to do, old man?
It would only get 1 star if it didn't have this redeeming moral plot.
Moral?
And basically, at the end of the movie, the moral statement is just be yourself.
Right.
Just be yourself. Now.
And everything comes together.
Now, if you take that from a realistic perspective, there is no way in hell that those guys would be with any woman. All three of them. There's no way.
That is a bunch of shit.
They would be with anyone.
You're full of shit, man.
Ah, it's a crock of crap. I did like the moral, though. Be yourself.
Be yourself.
I'll give it 2.5 because of that, John.
Build it and they will come.
2.5. Just be yourself.
Hey, man, I had one of the hottest chicks in high school, and I remember this dude on the wrestling team saying to me, how the fuck does a loser like you get one of the hottest chicks in the school? I'm like, well, I can't be that big of a loser then. Maybe you are.
Right on.
Because I got her.
Yeah, well, that's his perception that you're a loser.
Because he's a fucking moron.
Right, right. But
I win 1-0.
Were you as big of a loser as Seth, Evan, and McLovin? No.
No.
Okay.
But Seth wasn't that big of a loser.
No, Seth was one of the biggest losers.
Evan, on the other hand. I really like you.
You know who Evan reminded me of? And I think you've already said this.
Phil?
Yeah.
Totally.
But that's
totally.
That's not a loser. There's a gracious young man is what it is.
Absolutely.
A thoughtful, caring individual. Seth, on the other hand, can't go a day without drawing a penis. That's goddamn red flag.
He can't go a day without insulting his two best friends, man.
Well, McLovin was kind of a hanger-oner.
Fogle, yeah, that's a great story. Tell me that again, won't you? I say that to my own son.
Oh, that's why you connected.
I know. That's why he's going to be shooting people.
Well, that reminds me, Mr. Schmuel, burn me. Mr. Schmuel burns me a movie. This is an illegal activity. He goes out of his way to perform an illegal activity so I can see this movie. So the wife and I watched the movie last night. I can't remember the name. David Duchovny's in it. Julianne Moore's in it.
David Duchovny, why don't you love
Gyllenhaal's sister's in it.
Gyllenhaal.
And the guy from, I can't even remember. Anyway. I'm watching this movie, and I'm like, why is Steve recommending this movie to me? Why? And then 3/4 of the way through, one of the characters says to the other character, dude, man, 50 years from now, who's going to know? Nobody's going to know. Will you just do it? Just do it. And that's what I used to tell Mr. Schmuel back in the day.
Right.
Mr. Schmuel would see a woman.
Yeah.
And he'd talk about her. I said, well, go say hi. No, I can't do that.
What do you got to lose?
100 years from now, who's going to know? Even if, like, a criminal activity occurred. Let's say you took her out in the parking lot and you... A criminal record
Seth, like that.
Was created Nobody's going to know in 100 years. Nobody's going to care. So just go talk to her. That's why I think he recommended the movie, because of that one line in the movie.
Yeah.
And that's why I think you're connecting with Superbad, which really is Superbad. And you are connecting
with
you. Because
you watch it again with me, you'll be laughing your ass off. I'm not saying that your wife doesn't have a sense of humor, nor mine, because my wife does not understand mine at all.
Well, I did buy the movie, so
I'm like, why aren't you laughing at this? I'm laughing.
It gives me an excuse to watch it again, because I did buy it.
Well, we got to watch it, because I would not watch this movie with my wife, because she wouldn't get it at all. She'd be like, what the f-? I'm not watching the shit. She'd be completely repulsed that I'm watching this movie. I've showed her some clips of movies a couple of times. Check this out. Oh, disgusting. You know, and I'm just can't wait till my son is at that age where he and I can watch the R-rated movies together.
Nice.
Because he'll get it.
Well, yeah, not even R-rated, just the classics. And I'm waiting for that with my
daughter. Well, they're all R-rated.
And later my son. Yeah, most of them are. Some of them are PG-13. But, you know,
we're
going to have to
PG-13s.
Do something that we've never done in TTN history, John, right now.
What's that?
You're either going to have to keep talking while I take a potty break, or we're going to have to take a break.
All
what
right.
What do you want to do?
You know what? I could play a song.
All right.
I could play a song of a favorite band.
Favorite band.
They're called Out of Order.
Out of Order.
And
Chicago punk
I love this Chicago punk band. And a matter of fact, one of our guests, Dan, who is here, he's actually sung on some of their stuff. And they have a MySpace account, Out of Order. And here's a song of theirs that they recently released at a Metro show.
Out of sight.
That I went to see. And it's called Burning Hours. All right.
Nice. Just in time.
Out of Order. Great Chicago punk band, by the way. Yeah.
They're not still around, are they?
No, they're not.
But they have a MySpace page.
They do have a MySpace page. As a matter of fact, on the forum, what's his name? I think you started off back in August.
Back in the day, John.
You did like...
Well, speaking of the forum, Fenny. Spenny, send me my password. I forgot what it was, so send it to me so I can get in there
Christ.
And clean some shit up.
Are you serious? Yeah. You don't know what your password is?
No, I forgot it, man. Come on. Go ahead. So in the forum, somebody... I started the thread.
You started the thread, a punk rock thread. And it was back in August, and then in December, a little later, Hosen posted a bunch of stuff that I checked out, and I don't know how I really wanted to get this Out of Order stuff, because Dan, one of the guys who was on the show, not Dan, Cousin Dan, but Dan,
the guitar player, the shredder.
The Shredder, he was on the show, and he and I, he has this rental studio space. He still has it to this day. He has a full fucking Trans Am inside this rental space.
Nice.
He bought this Trans Am off of a very good friend of my mom, and he bought a second Trans Am off of the same guy, off of the same guy's son. And it's a 74 Super Duty Trans Am. He had it all redone. Matter of fact, he came over here one day to show it to me, but I wasn't home. So we got to check it out. I got to get some pictures and we'll post it on the website. It's the coolest fucking car I've ever seen. But anyways, he's got another Trans Am from the later 70s, all packed up in a big corner in this studio that he's rented out for years. But he and I and another band rented it together. Three bands rented the studio, and it was an L-shaped studio. And in each corner, a band practiced, and we divided up the
Not
days
the
of the week.
Not at the same time, right?
No, we divided up the days of the week. And one band was called Out of Order, and they played there. And we just heard of them. Fuck, Knob Creek. Should I have another?
Sure.
Anyway, so I would sit there and listen to them practice on the nights they practiced, and be playing with Ripper and actually Marty playing bass back in the day. In our band Shattered Glass. So I'd be practicing like three nights a week with these guys. Actually, Sunday we'd divide up into three sections because every band practiced 3 days a week. And I would hang out on Sundays till Out of Order would show up and watch their practice. Because the drummer, Matt, that played in that band was so fucking phenomenal. And I used to go see him at Medusa's and all these other bars. And recently they played at the Metro, and they did like a reunion gig, and they played some of their older punk tunes. And it was fucking unbelievable, Scott. Joe and I went to it. And Joe and I considered going down to the mosh pit, but we were wearing glasses.
Right.
And if right. we were both wearing our contacts, I tell you, Scott, I would be down in that fucking mosh pit. Here's Survival of the Fittest. Now, is that not punk or what?
Or what?
It's punk, dude.
No doubt.
That's punk. I don't know if you're into punk, dude.
It's not Matt from the Mediocre Show was the drummer.
No.
A different Matt.
No, it's a different Matt. Yeah, this guy was, he I think he went on to play in some other, like, well-known touring bands. I saw him once playing at the Avalon with a touring band, and he was fucking phenomenal. Yeah, they're fucking great, man. I've seen them, I don't know how many times, but they were phenomenal. And now they got a MySpace account. So if you go to myspace.com/outoforderchicago, out of order Chicago. So myspace.com/outoforderchicago. They're fucking kick ass. You'll see there's a bunch of links to some friends and stuff, and then they'll take you to some other Chicago punk bands that they're just fucking back in the day, man. Back in the fucking day, Scott. Back in the early 80s when they shut down the metro because skinheads came there and started stabbing people.
Fuckers.
Fucking A.
Right on.
But, yeah.
That's a nice segue into celebrity news. We have a celebrity correction. Last podcast, we talked about Will Smith making some comments about Adolf Hitler, saying he couldn't have been such a bad guy. I'm sure there were some good qualities about Adolf Hitler. I'm sure he didn't wake up every morning thinking, how can I be evil today? Some shit like that. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Anyway, right. Will Smith is angry over celebrity gossip sites, websites, and podcasts, specifically TTN, that said misinterpreted a recent remark he made in a Scottish newspaper about Adolf Hitler. It was an awful and disgusting lie, Smith said in a statement. It speaks to the dangerous power of an ignorant person with a pen. I am incensed and infuriated to have to respond to such ludicrous misinterpretation. Adolf Hitler was a vile, heinous, vicious killer responsible for one of the greatest acts of evil committed on this planet, Smith said. So it's all a bunch of shit. He never said, well, I don't know. Maybe he said that, but they take him out of context. I don't know. He doesn't say that. I mean, there's a Scottish newspaper. I'm wondering if there's audio of it. I bet you he did say some shit like that. Now he's trying to cover his ass.
You think so?
Yeah, that's what I say.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. I don't know. Hey, dude, I wanted to mention something. Did you see the comment on MySpace by Errol Wilf?
Errol Wilf?
Yeah.
He had two comments, didn't he?
Yeah. Do you know why?
Because the first one was fucked up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know why it was fucked up, right?
No, why?
Somebody hacked our ID.
Really? What does that mean?
It means that they're sending, like, to all of the people that are our friends, they're sending this, unless you sent it, but I don't think you did, this fucked up video.
What?
From Nothing Toxic of a chick. Supposedly it's of a chick's ass shaking or something. Then you go to click on it, and then it goes all fucking ape shit, and it sends you to this Nothing Toxic website, and it launches a shitload of, you know, whatever.
Shit.
Yeah, just a bunch of shit.
Well, why don't we delete it?
I did. Oh. I did. All I got to delete another one, though. But
we're sending that out?
No.
I thought he's sending it out.
We're not. We're not. But somebody hacked into our ID, and he said something like, my wife loved the video you posted on my page. Thanks. Happy New Year, smacktards. And I went back to him and said, hey, dude, that's not us. Somebody hacked our profile, and they're linking to this Nothing Toxic piece of shithole website, which is a bunch of fuckasses. And he wrote back, it's all good. I thought it was pretty funny. I couldn't click on it to see the video, so that bummed me out. Hope you're having a great New Year.
I see. Well, you know, it's shit like that that's going to ruin the internets, John.
I know.
These motherfuckers.
Why can't they be fucking honest?
First email with the goddamn spam. Come on. Find some other work to get into, okay? Who needs a goddamn big penis? I don't. And now you got these guys hacking MySpace to get some stupid-ass video that opens up other websites. That doesn't endear you to people.
Right.
People aren't going to be very psyched about that. They're going to think you're a fucking asshole.
Right.
So just knock the shit off.
Knock
so we
it
can
off.
Get on with the internets already. If you want to post something, post some W stupidity. That always makes
right.
me giggle.
Right. So anyway,
not
yeah.
this other shit.
Bullshit.
All right. Other celebrity news. I don't know if you heard this. I'm sure you've heard that Britney Spears' younger sister is preggers. She's
what?
16, John. You haven't heard
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. This is the star of Zoe 101. Britney Spears' little sister is pregnant. But get this, John. This is new. Well, it's not really new. The father of Jamie Lynn Spears' baby is not Casey Aldridge, but an older man who could face rape charges
yeah.
over the conception.
Her dad.
According
allegedly.
To new U.S. reports. Really? You heard her, it was her dad?
I'm kidding. Allegedly. That's why I said allegedly.
American Magazine star claims the Spears family are paying Aldridge, 18, to play the dad. Oh, I saw you reaching for the Knob Creek. In a bid to mask the father's true identity and avoid the shame of an underage sex scandal involving 16-year-old Jamie Lynn. How about that?
That's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
Hey, I got audio of Cousin Dan snoring.
Oh, wait a minute, man. I got a follow-up story.
Go ahead.
I got the Aldridge story.
I just found it, finally.
Then I got Lynn Spears' book.
Go ahead.
We talked about Lynn Spears, right?
I just want to tell you, I just found it.
Lynn Spears. Yeah. That's the mom, right?
Lynn
Spears.
She had a book, right?
It's going to be released.
No.
And so I'm reading the story.
What
I'm like,
not to do?
How could this possibly be? Not only you got Britney, loses custody of your kids.
Britney.
To Kevin Federline, of all people, and it has to be checked into a goddamn hospital. Now you got the 16-year-old sister pregnant, and this woman's going to release a book on parenting? Who would be stupid enough to release this book? Now we know, John. Britney Spears' mother Lynn's forthcoming parenting book will still be published.
Parenting?
Yes.
Parenting book?
The bombshell news was first reported to have thrown doubt on whether Lynn's book, Pop Culture Mom, which follows her adventures raising two famous daughters, would ever be released. However, a statement, get this, John, from Christian publisher Thomas Nelson has confirmed the tome will still come out. Lynn's memoir will provide a window into the real world of fame and worldly success, including the toll it extracts from some who aspire to it. It will provide a much-needed corrective to a world obsessed with the wrong priorities.
Corrective or collective?
Whatever. We believe in redemption, John. Therefore, we are standing with Lynn and her family during this difficult time. Though the book has been delayed, we believe God is at work.
Oh.
So it's God. Hey, maybe... I never thought of this, but maybe it is God. Maybe. It's the second coming of Christ is in Jamie Lynn Spears' womb as we speak, John. Other celebrity news. Seinfeld says no to the Oscars. Seinfeld has snubbed the chance to host the Academy Awards, preferring instead to perform for an audience that isn't racked with nerves. The American comedian has turned the job down on numerous occasions over fears organizers will keep inviting him back. What an arrogant cocksucker.
What an arrogant cuss.
But what appeals to him least is the prospect of performing in front of a crowd of Oscar nominees.
You know, yeah, go on.
Get this excuse. Whose minds are too focused on winning awards to laugh at his jokes. How about because your jokes suck?
Suck.
It doesn't matter who's in front of you. Your jokes suck. You suck. And you're just coming out with this shit.
I never thought the show was funny until I saw people like Newman and Kramer and George Costanza and even Elaine from Saturday Night Live gracing the show. Whenever Jerry would say something, I was like, ugh.
Guy's the worst actor.
Worst.
He's not funny.
He laughed through the whole, every fucking bit.
You watch Larry David, his show, you figure out where the creative genius comes from.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's the luckiest goddamn fucker on the
luckiest
planet.
Luckiest fuck.
And now he's saying he doesn't want to do it because they'll keep asking him back because he'll do such a good job. What a fucking arrogant prick. Here's what he goes on to say, John. There's no upside. I don't know. It's just a weird environment. I'm lucky that I can do things that kind of interest me as a challenge. But everybody there is nervous, you know? They want
Jackie's...
to win their award. They're not there to
Jackie
fun.
Stewart at 7 years
I
old?
I like to go in front of an audience that wants to have fun, John. That cocksucker. Just go away. Retire. All right, our last celebrity.
Last celebrity news.
Oh, we have two celebrity stories, John. This is a celebrity quiz. Guess what celebrity answered. Here's the question. The question was, does God exist? And here's what the celebrity said. See if you can guess what celebrity said this. Until I was 20, I was sure there was a being who could see everything I did and who didn't like most of it. He seemed to care about minute aspects of my life, like on what day of the week I ate a piece of meat. And yet, he let earthquakes and mudslides take out whole communities, apparently ignoring the saints among them who ate their meat on the assigned days. Eventually, I realized that I didn't believe there was such a being. I still don't like the word agnostic. It's too fancy. I'm simply not a believer. What celebrity said that, John? This is a back-in-the-day celebrity.
Back
this is an old-time. Well, not old time. But let's see. 70s, 80s. Late 70s, early 80s celebrity.
Who said it?
Who said it?
Is it a guy or a
girl? It is a guy. It's a guy. Yeah.
And he said what?
You want me to repeat the whole goddamn thing?
Yeah, real quick. Well, I didn't know you were going to ask me what guy it was.
I'm just going to tell you who it is. It was Alan Alda.
Oh, I knew that.
Perhaps best Alan known Alda as Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
In the 70s series.
Jew.
MASH.
He's a Jew.
Is he?
No, I don't know.
He's not.
Alda?
That's not Jewish.
Alda.
That's not Jewish. Last celebrity story. It's a kind of a local celebrity story, John. Throwback to an era when newspaper reporters were colorful, larger-than-life figures. Chicago Tribune columnist Terry Armour. Are you familiar with Terry Armour?
Oh, yeah.
Was also a passionate. The key word here is was. Also a passionate and incisive interpreter of those twin obsessions of American culture, sports, and entertainment. You know what happened to Terry Armour,
no.
John? He's dead.
What?
Yeah. Armour, 46, died Friday in Northwestern Memorial Hospital, apparently of a heart attack.
You got to be fucking kidding me.
He collapsed at a newspaper office.
No way.
Terry Armour is dead, John.
No way.
Dead. Now, what this guy did, he was a sports columnist during the Bulls.
Whoa.
Six championships. And then they moved him over into entertainment. The only thing I could think of is because he couldn't cut it as a sports guy. But who knows? What do I know? And then he got a gig on the radio.
Yeah.
With Stan. It was the Stan and Terry show.
Wow.
That got taken off the air along with Steve Dahl.
I'm shocked, dude.
His dumbass son, Matt.
I'm shocked, dude, because I thought their show was more entertaining than Steve Dahl.
Yes.
And also his son's show.
Oh, anything is more entertaining than his son's show. We could scratch our ass for an hour.
Well, it was two black guys, and one black guy sounded like a real black guy, and the other black guy, Terry Armour,
sounded
was
like
kinda,
a pretend black
yeah,
guy. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll tell you, Stan.
yes, he would say all the hip African-American things, but he would
slangs.
Talk like this.
Hey. What's up there,
hey,
brother?
You know, I thought about going on the Dow Low, Stan.
Yeah, I thought they were very entertaining, those two guys.
So and, did my wife.
Oh, yeah. That sucks.
46.
I had no idea. And you told me it was going to be a surprise.
Dead.
And that's fucked
well,
up.
Well, surprise usually is like means
a positive
yeah.
thing.
a
that's
positive
negative.
Thing.
Why
that's
wouldn't
a negative.
You just brought me down, man.
Sorry, man. Let me bring you up with some science news.
Wait, I got Cousin Dan snoring.
Oh,
you want to hear it?
Cousin Dan snoring. Yeah,
here we go.
Hold on now. Wait a minute. Don't play it. Stop it. Stop it.
All right.
Now, Cousin Dan moved in with you
right.
until he got his condo built.
Right.
He has now moved out.
Right.
But while he was living with you, you had the opportunity to record
yeah.
Cousin Dan.
Well, here's
snoring.
What Cousin Dan said before he moved in. He said, hey, man, I know you got a room for me, but I'll sleep in there one night because, you know, your wife... you know, wants me to and the kids and all that. But as soon as the one night's over, you're going to want me in the basement. And you'll hear why I snore really loud. And I said, no, dude, no problem. So one morning I decided to record him through the door.
It's through the door.
Through the door.
Okay.
And here is Cousin Dan snoring through the door.
I've never heard anything like that.
Just like.
Is that on the inhale or the exhale?
I don't know.
That would go on all night?
That's Cousin Dan. All night long.
But did it ever bother you? I mean,
no.
Did it ever...
No, because I wear the CPAP, man.
Right, the CPAP.
And here's my thing. I have a real problem with dead silence. I cannot sleep if it's really quiet. So I have to have a fan on. Even if it's not blowing on me, I got to have the sound. Because dead silent. I have, what do they call that? Tinnitus?
Yeah.
Tinnitus?
Tinnitus.
Yeah. Tinnitus. It's called tinnitus.
Tinnitus.
Yeah, it's called
tinnitus.
Yeah, tinnitus. And it's a constant in my ears. I've been playing in rock bands. I don't know how long. I even marched in a drum.
Hey, stop reaching for the bottle.
Drum and bugle corps.
Wait a minute. I'm looking at that bottle. That was brand new when we started, right?
Yeah.
You got to put it down. There's more than half of it is gone. You fucker.
You didn't tap yours?
No, I just drank you gave me.
That's you didn't have no mores?
No, I didn't have no mores. This is 750 milliliters. You had half of that. Of Knob Creek.
No.
You're crazy, man.
It's about almost half, not quite. It's genuine Kentucky bourbon whiskey.
Right on.
And it's my favorite.
All right, man, let's turn to science
news.
You
had a couple. Why don't you tell that story?
I had a what?
Oh, couple yeah. at the Beacon.
Yeah, we went to the Beacon on Thursday night.
The worst fucking bands ever.
Well, the Beacon started open mic night again. So,
oh.
But there's some different people running it.
Oh.
So Rick says, calls you, you call me. Yeah, we'll meet at 9 o'clock. We get there at 9. Where's Rick? He's not there. He shows up at 9:30. But then worse than that, the guys who run the goddamn thing, the drummer, sets up his drums, and then he realizes he forgot his cymbals. So he's got to drive wherever. Who knows? What's supposed to start at 9 now starts at 10.
Right.
I can't stay out all goddamn night. I got a goddamn job, all right? You losers that are hanging around to go up there.
Goddamn job.
So Rick mentioned something about next Thursday, but we got practice Thursday. We don't have time to go over there and dick around.
We could.
We could.
I am pretty fucked up, man.
All right, man. Let's turn it. Oh, so anyway.
Let's bring it back together.
I ordered two Knob Creeks at the Beacon, and we were there for an hour and a half.
It's about $12, $13 worth of
booze. Each one of these glasses was like a half a bottle.
Yeah, there were some long pours, weren't they?
They were substantial Knob Creeks.
And the beauty is, and let me tell you something. I don't like this at all because I think it's the fucking government. Whatever, but
no smoking.
No smoking in Illinois. There's no smoking in Illinois. In all the bars.
When
and
I first walked up, there was a couple of people outside, and I'm like, Jesus, is that crowded? And then I realized, oh no, these are the guys smoking because they can't smoke inside.
And it was fucking beautiful. And we're playing there on the 19th, and there's no smoking, man.
Yeah, that's going to be out of sight.
I love it, but I think it's a complete crock of shit. I don't think it's fair.
Well, if the government's going to make all this money on taxes from cigarettes, how can you then turn around and say you can't smoke?
I don't know. But I don't think it's right that you dictate to a private business that they have to ban
right
people from smoking, but I can't be more honest in saying than I love it, but I wouldn't support that kind of legislation.
You just take a break, all right? Let's get into science.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
This is out of Texas, John. Texas, and its continuing effort to be the laughingstock of the fucking country. First of all, for giving us the W as a president. This guy's a goddamn chip. Here's what they do. They've allowed a science institute the privilege to give out master's degrees in what is essentially creationism. An advisory committee of the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board has recommended that the Institute for Creation Research be given the authority to grant master's degrees in science education.
Oh, my God.
This is unbelievable. It's like they're de-evolving, John. It's like whatever evolution has happened, whatever natural selection has occurred, the 4.6 billion years that it took these fucking idiots to be born on whatever redneck farm they were born on, now they're going to impose that you can get a master's in creationism.
Well, check this out. Are you done?
I'm done with that story. I have more science stories.
NBC finds controversy in scientists' rebuke of creationism. And if I can get through this without slurring too much. A renowned national science panel is releasing a book urging educators to keep intelligent design theory, a pseudo-creationist approach to explaining the world that is closer to religion than science, out of science classrooms, Scott.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
The National Academy of Sciences says in a new book that intelligent design, which has been pushed almost exclusively by religious activists, does not belong in science classrooms alongside evolution. Darwin's theory of natural selection, which has persevered among scientists for nearly 150 years. All right, let me just cut to the chase. Basically, what NBC did was they claimed that this whole thing is a big controversy. But instead of bringing on two panelists, you know, somebody who's a scientist and one of these creationist people, they brought in just a creationist guy. And the national, here's what they did, was who did NBC find to question such scientific authority? Peter Sprigg, a mouthpiece for the Family Research Council. We've talked about these guys before, haven't we?
Yeah.
Which is charged with promoting the religious rights agenda in Washington. Sprigg, whose FRC bio brags of his specialization in the homosexual agenda and religion in public life, boasts impressive educational credentials that include a Master of Divinity degree cum laude.
Come on, really?
Yeah.
It's like a master's in fairy tales.
I know. From Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary.
John, I'm going for my master's in the Grimm fairy tales.
I'm going for my master's in the Grinch. What's lacking, Weinsprig, whose credentials don't list any expertise in on training or biological or other sciences, is a true scientific debate about the merits. Now, he's a true scientific debate about the merits and weaknesses of evolutionary theory.
We gotta shut it off now.
As presented by Darwin. So here's a guy who got his Master of Divinity degree
in fairy tales,
cum laude, from Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. He's saying there's no true scientific debate.
What is
And that's NBC, one of her most. The national broadcast system
failed us, John.
Failed us. Is a real whatever.
What do you think? You know, you get your master's. You think they have like Scantron tests? You know, where you fill in.
You just keep
the question
coloring
is,
in C.
How many days did Noah's flood last? 39, 40, 41. And then you circle B, and then you get your master's degree. I mean,
right.
How ridiculous is a master's in divinity? It's retarded. I don't even talk to me about that
anymore, man.
How dare you put that in my face?
I know. How dare I?
Well, here's the thing. They talk about, oh, it's an intelligent design theory, but it's not a theory. Theories can be tested. How do you test that? You can't test that. We don't know, so it must be God. And these people, I just don't understand it. Especially the last 100 years of civilization is dominated by science and technology. And these motherfuckers couldn't exist if it weren't for that.
I know.
But no, they want us to ignore all that. And let's talk about God and eating meat on whenever.
And, right.
You know, all that
no
shit.
No meat on Friday.
Hey, I'm not getting the door because I got a bunch of science news to get to before.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, we'll leave them out there.
In what sounds like a dream for millions of tired coffee drinkers, did you hear about this, John? DARPA-funded scientists might have found a drug that will eliminate sleepiness. A nasal spray containing a naturally occurring brain hormone called orexin A reversed the effects of sleep deprivation in monkeys. So what did they do? Test it out on the W? Allowing them to perform like
you
well-rested
are hilarious.
Monkeys on cognitive tests. What I want to ask you is, if that drug were available, would you take it?
In a fucking heartbeat. You have no idea what kind of work I got to do, man. I got like 30-some-odd employees.
I wouldn't take it.
And I can't delegate like as much as I'd like to, because the three people that I have to delegate to aren't all that bright.
They're not listeners, are they?
No.
Okay.
They can't even work a computer.
Oh, all right.
So
well, I guess
I'm
you're
fine with that.
You're pretty accurate there.
Yeah.
So you would now let me ask you this question. If it's 2 p.m. on a Sunday, nobody's home. Would you take this drug or would you take a 2-hour nap?
Oh, no, I'd take a nap.
Oh,
naps
yeah.
Are awesome.
Definitely take the nap.
I love the naps.
Definitely take the nap. Under certain circumstances.
You can jerk off in a nap. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, that,
you
helps you, that helps you go to sleep, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I would take it unless like I had to give a presentation or some
right
big deal.
Well, here's what I do. When I know I'm going to get into a meeting that I have some inkling that it's going to get heated and I have to be on my best game. You know, I got to be really cranked up,
on
ready for that that presentation.
Give and take, yeah. Right.
And it's happened from time to time. I go right to the Starbucks and I get the quadruple, not triple, quadruple shot Venti Mocha, which is four shots of espresso in my mocha.
That's so gay.
And I drink it all.
You're goddamn
gay. I chug
it.
Well, what am I going to do? What am I going to snort cocaine?
It's an exchange of ideas. Why can't you just rely on your own goddamn brain power?
It's not an exchange of ideas.
It is.
No.
That's all it is.
No, no, no.
You exchange ideas with me right now.
I do.
Do you
That's
have to
right.
go get a four triple
no,
cafe
it's different.
Mocha?
It's different. I need a little bit of aggression. You know what? It's either mocha or some JD.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
How
you know,
much
I
JD?
Become confrontational with JD. But I have to be succinct.
Succinct.
And I can't be succinct with JD. I'll be like, fucking asshole. You know what I'm saying? I get too belligerent.
No, I don't know. I've never experienced that.
Have you?
No.
You never
really?
Have?
No.
Okay.
Never.
Well, then it's not the JD.
Do you want to be in this band or what?
I've never said
Fucker.
That. I've never said that. Have I said that?
Yeah. I need to know by tomorrow.
No, today.
Today.
I want to know now.
I want to know right now. Well, you can't answer the fucking question.
And did you want to punch me in the face or something?
I really wanted
yeah,
to punch you in
that?
The face.
Yeah, what's up with that, you pussy? What's that? What's that? What's that? You want to get all violent?
I wanted to. Did I?
No.
Okay.
No, but you got really quiet.
I did get quiet.
And I was like, oh, he's going to fucking
That's
punch
the quiet
me in the face.
Before the storm is what that is.
But I've a couple of times I had to amp it up with the caffeine to the point that I'm really irritable. And people have witnessed me like dive across a conference room table and scream into a whatever those conference room phones, you know, those triangle shaped
oh, yeah.
speakers.
Right on.
At Germans. And it's been a very effective, man. I found that the quadruple shot of caffeine has been very effective.
Well, all right.
Not always. Sometimes it's just a lot of protein. Like some nice big fat omelet, cheese omelet,
mm-hmm.
That'll do. But other times it's the caffeine that motivates some good sparring. You've never done it internationally, Scott.
No,
I've had
no.
to deal with people from Germany,
different
from
cultures,
England,
right,
from Holland. From Spain, from France. Matter of fact, I was telling our president that two people had to get in between me and the French supply chain manager because we were going to go to FIS.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why we call them freedom fries, John.
That's
freedom fries.
I said I love French dressing.
Well, you are in the global economy. That's what you are. Global.
I
it's
am.
A global market, not me.
I almost had to go to blows with the fucking old Frenchman. And here's what's funny. The guy's name is Jacques Boutte, which translates to jackass.
Come on, really?
Oh, yeah, Jack Booty. Jacques Boutte.
Jackass. So does he sue Steve-O and those guys? For copyright infringement?
No, no, no. What I'm saying is the guy's a fucking jackass.
Oh, he is.
His name is Jacques Boutte. So if you translate it in English slang English slang, Scott.
Not schlong, but
yeah.
Slang.
Jack is in Jacques. Jacques is Jack.
And Boutte.
Boutte is in booty.
Booty or ass.
Ass. Jackass. Jack.
ass.
And when I've told this story before to many people that work at my company throughout internationally.
Too many people work there?
No, not too many. They said too many? A lot of people. They think it's funny.
All right, yeah. Say,
Jacques Boutet translates to jackass. He doesn't listen to the show because he's like in his 60s.
There you go.
So I would have been wrestling with a 60-plus old man who has very large lips and earlobes that are probably about 4 inches long. I've never seen earlobes that long.
Well,
in
they
a
say your
man.
Nose and your ears continue to grow throughout your
do
life.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, then maybe I'll be like Jacques Boutet.
When you're 60.
But me and Jacques Boutet had a very loud exchange, which caused two people to get in between the two of us.
All right, then.
Because we're going to go to fists.
Moving on, our last science
you
story.
Fuck! Last Jacques science Boutet! Story. I'll take you out, you fucking...
I don't
fucking...
know if you know this, John.
Do you know
Satanism.
About Brigitte Bardot?
Satanism no. is on the rise.
It is.
And Pope Benedict has unveiled plans to set up specialist exorcism squads.
Are you for serious?
I'm not making this up, man. This is for real.
You liar.
The Pope has ordered his bishops to set up exorcism squads to tackle the rise of Satanism. Vatican chiefs are concerned at what they see as an increased interest in the occult. They have introduced courses for priests to combat what they call the most extreme form of godlessness. Each bishop is to be told to have in his diocese a number of priests trained. They have to train them to fight demonic possession. An initiative was revealed by 82-year-old Father Gabriel Amuth.
The I'm Vatican never drinking again.
Exorcist in chief to the online Catholic news service Petraeus.
There's an exorcist in chief?
Exorcist in chief.
Are you serious?
Yes. Thanks be to God, we have a pope who has decided to fight the devil head on. Too many bishops are not taking seriously, and we are not delegating their priests in the fight against the devil. You have to hunt high and low for a properly trained exorcist.
No.
Thankfully, Benedict the 16th believes in the existence of danger and evil. Going back to the time he was in charge of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. So I think we should apply, John.
Really?
Yeah. Why not?
Apply to what?
To be exorcists.
Oh.
To train Catholic priests how to become experts in exorcism. I mean, how hard can it be?
Right. You just go Dominus, Omus, whatever. Whatever, whatever.
Cast the Satan out of the body!
May the power of Christ compel you!
Right.
And that's it.
How hard can that be?
And then they throw a pea soup on you and
splash
you're done.
Some holy water.
Oh! And it's done.
Unbelievable to me that in the 21st century, John. Is it the 21st century? Yeah. This shit is still going on. It's unbelievable. All right. Let's quickly get into politics. Oh, President thanks. Bush.
Yeah.
This pisses me off about the W. I mean, he's on the down low. But he said a couple weeks ago, last week, that he would have no comment on the debate over the destruction of CIA tapes until an investigation is completed. And what a coward.
What a fucking
what an
piece
ass.
Of dog shit.
I'm not going to say anything because I'm in up to my goddamn ears.
But what about this guy? What about this guy?
What guy?
Former head of the CIA's clandestine service, Jose Rodriguez, claims he can take the White House down.
We'll do it already.
Down over a torture cover-up scandal. Rodriguez said that he may testify before House Intelligence Committee if he is humidity.
House Intelligence is an oxymoron, John.
House Intelligence Committee if he is granted immunity from prosecution. Anyways, the intelligence sources believe Rodriguez is now quite determined not to become the fall guy if the controversy over the destruction of CIA videotapes showing the torture of terrorist suspects.
Come on, man. Slur it out.
Dude, I haven't been drunk like this since Professor Tom was on the show. I'm glad I only have to walk up the stairs and I'm done. Two flights, as a matter of fact.
Right on. Hey, we're still recording, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait, let me check.
Here's the one headline that I thought was funny.
Yes, we're checking. 2.2 minutes.
Here's the headline that I thought was funny. The torture tape fingering Bush as a war criminal is a headline. I thought that was funny. Fingering Bush.
Fingering Bush. Anyway,
have
this
you ever
guy,
done that, John? Fingered
no,
Bush?
No, not lately. Not lately. But I have fingered the Bush. Anyway, hundreds of hours of videotapes reportedly showed the interrogation of two Al-Qaeda leaders, Abu Zabadabadabay and Abadaba Al-Arami.
Yeah, whatever. Just take them down already. Yeah. Give this guy immunity.
CIA officer has testified that the videotape showed Zabidi being subjected to waterboarding, a form of torture that simulates drowning. The Bush administration's denial of any involvement in the destruction of the tapes. The CIA and White House have been accused of torturing detainees in the so-called war on terror launched after in the aftermath of 9/11. Anyway, Scott.
Yes, John.
there's a guy named Jonathan Turley who is really very vocal about how the W and the administration is involved in this cover-up. And he says there's the only way possible that this information was squashed was that the W would have to be the person that had to say, hey, man, you need to get rid of this shit.
The only way it happened is if it came from the W.
Right. Right. It come from the top, Scott.
So they just started the investigation yesterday or the day before. Get the goddamn thing over with. Let's get this cocksucker
out
already. And if not for that, for every other goddamn stupid thing he's done, why can't we just impeach on incompetence, right? You take the monkey we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Well, that's the thing. They don't want to impeach because a lot of the Dems that would have to go out on record and impeach, it would come out in the press that they were actually part of this process. So it would be very embarrassing.
You know it wouldn't.
Yeah, it would.
Part of what process?
Because they fucked up. Because a lot like Pelosi and them, they turned a blind eye to the whole thing. They're just as culpable.
Here's what I don't understand.
I'm tired of government. I think it's anarchy. I'm tired of the fucking government. I think either side is fucked. The one thing that Marty's ever said was that even though he endorsed Bush and Cheney,
And voted for him,
is that either one, no matter what side you go with, they're both just as fucking corrupt.
Understood, but incompetent plus corruption equals the W.
I would agree
and
with
that's
that
not good for us.
Wholeheartedly. It is good for us because it makes for a great show.
Well, here's the... No, it doesn't. Really
it doesn't.
I mean, it's really a tragedy when you really think about it. You know, you talk about the Republicans and Ron Paul, Republican, right?
Right.
I mean, all the Republicans, these guys are goddamn mental patients. You got
right.
Huckabee. This guy's he's like Gomer Pyle. You got, Romney, who says his dad marched with Martin Luther King. And they said, wait a minute, your dad never marched with him. Oh, it's just a figure of speech. That's how I talk.
Figure.
Yeah, it's just how I talk. I didn't mean it. It's just how I talk. I mean, all these people are goddamn retarded. And then Ron Paul. I go, okay, Republicans at least have a Ron Paul, right? And then I hear this shit. Go ahead and play this clip I brought in. It's really hard to hear, but go ahead.
I think there is a theory.
Hold on, stop the clip. I'm sorry, stop the clip.
All right.
Somebody asks him if he believes in evolution. They ask Ron Paul, do you believe in evolution? Here's what he says.
I think it's a theory of evolution, and I don't accept it, you know, as a theory. But I think the creator that I know, you know, created us, every one of us, and created the universe, and the precise time and manner and all, I just don't think we're at the point where anybody has absolute proof on either side.
What?
He's done. Ron Paul is dead to me.
What did he say?
He said, I don't accept it. I don't accept the theory of evolution. I don't think that anybody has absolute proof on either side. And when he says either side, he's talking about evolution and he's talking about creationism.
Which is fine with me.
That's fine with
you. I have no problem with that.
I totally disagree.
Oh, shut up.
Totally disagree.
As long as it has nothing to do with government.
It may not have anything to do with government, but if you do not have a simple grasp of science to know
how can you lead this country in an age of science and technology? Why can't you?
Come on. What if something came up with stem cell research or something like that? Well, you know, I just don't believe that because I don't think... You know, God
no,
tells
not necessarily.
Me that this and
if
that.
He's a person of minimalist government. So if he says, I don't want government to be involved in any of these decisions, my personal belief is this is totally fucking whacked, and I think some guy with a magic wand created all the people. Bing, bing, bing. He created all the people. But as far as government is concerned, I don't think they have any business involved in this.
Understood. But just because he believes that doesn't make it so. Government is still going to be a critical component in science research and technology. And if you got a guy who can't even admit...
So what you're saying is that government needs to be involved in the federal funding. Government needs to fund science.
When we talk about hypotheticals
and
what needs to happen and what should happen... that's a different conversation. What I'm talking about, if Ron Paul gets into presidency, if he's the president, science and technology are still very much intertwined in government, and that is a low priority.
I think that
with
is
all the shit.
I don't think he has to clear up. I don't think science and technology should be involved in government.
Understood, but understand this: currently, in the current situation, most of science research funding comes from the government.
That's correct.
Right. And if you got a guy who doesn't even have a grasp of the theory of evolution, how can you trust him to fund the appropriate scientific and technology projects that are going to advance this great country into the 22nd century?
Very good point, Scott.
That's all I'm saying.
Point made.
Ron Paul is dead to me.
Ron Paul is dead to total talk nonsense.
Well, I don't know if you agree with that.
No, I agree.
All right,
I
so
agree.
We agree.
You've made a premise that I have to agree with, because if you say that and his personal beliefs in the end will eventually dictate if he can't grasp the basic fundamentals of science, which astounds me because he is a gynecologist. He is a man of science. He is a doctor.
Now I'm even questioning that line of work.
I don't know. I mean, being a doctor, you would think a guy who is a man of science, he would allow that to be not a problem for him. But personally, on a personal level, if he believes that evolution is, you know, you're right. I mean, how can he distinguish between the two?
I don't know.
Without muddling it in some way.
He's dead to me, John.
He's
so the Republicans have nobody to offer. They got Giuliani. That guy's a goddamn whack job. They all of them are.
Oh, absolutely.
Huckabee, Romney.
The only hope I had was either Chuck Hagel or Ron Paul, and that was it. They've totally squandered that whole thing. So I think my only choice so far has been an Obama.
A Barack Obama.
I think this guy has bigger balls than a Hillary or any other, because Hillary is kind of like a Bush, as far as I'm concerned, or has a Bush. I don't know if she
like
shaves
a Bush,
it.
Has a Bush. Whatever.
Barack has some big balls, and you know he's going for history, my friend. He won the primary in the caucus in
Iowa.
That
doesn't mean anything. I mean, how many people vote?
I know 3% is the amount of vote that Clinton got before he won the actual presidential election. But,
so we'll see. There's still a long way to go. But
right. When
they do, when the Republicans have their nominee and the Democrats have their nominee, we will break it down. I don't even want to waste my time with these retard Republicans that they got running. I mean, it's a goddamn joke.
They're fucked up, dude.
It's totally unbelievable to me. This is the best we have to offer?
I know. I don't mean to derail the whole show, but I totally forgot that Way of the Bob's mom left us a call.
Well, we got to hear it.
And I want to make sure I get this in before we end the show.
Do you have any other politics, John? If not, we can play Way of the Bob.
Not that I can read.
While you're playing Way of the Bob, I can go get the door and let Phil in.
Are you going to get the door?
Yeah, I can get the door,
can
man.
You get the door or you want
yeah,
me to
get the door, no? I can get
this
the door.
This is about... All right, go over and get the door, would you? All right. No, I don't think I have to lay down.
Hey!
Hey! Come on back. You got big feet. All right.
He must have got a new fur coat for
it's nice.
Christmas. And it's 65 degrees, too.
Dude, I was outside today taking my decorations off.
Decorations.
Now, we're in Illinois, and I was wearing shorts.
Global warming, John.
It's going to snow on Tuesday.
You had a shit story earlier. I'm going to tell you about the grossest thing I've ever had in my possession.
Well,
I have it right now.
Listen to the Way of the Bob's mom.
Let me
first.
Tell the story first. I want to tell my story first.
Why?
Because it'll segue nicely into the way to Bob.
I don't know how.
So here are the conditions. First of all, you need to have a dog, a big dog. I have a big dog. You need to let him shit in the run for a week.
Right.
And then right when you're about to clean it up, you need it to snow, right? So it covers everything.
Right.
You can't clean. You can't muck it up. So then for the next week, the dog needs to shit in the run on top of the snow. Then you need
so
the
you
snow to start melting. So you have 2 weeks of dog shit saved up, right? Then you go, you muck the yard. While you're mucking the run, you put it in a bag. You put it, but while you're doing it, you get some snow in there too, because you can't help it.
Yeah.
You can't help picking up with the shovel the crap without a little snow. So you put that all in a bag.
It's Christmas, you know.
Then you tie it up, right? Then you leave it outside. Then you wait for it to get 65 degrees. Then you got one of the grossest goddamn things on the planet.
You got shit water.
You got shit soup in a plastic bag.
Soup.
And these the people in my neighborhood, I live on a very pedestrian corner.
Yeah,
a lot of pedestrian traffic.
Yeah.
A lot of people have dogs.
Yeah.
In the summer, they clean up the shit. It snows out. It's like a license not to pick up shit. I don't know what these people are thinking. So the snow melts, and now I find shit all over my front yard. And I'm saying to myself,
Are you serious?
I can't wait to catch one of these motherfuckers.
I would fucking shoot them with a fucking pellet gun.
Here's what I'm going to do.
There's no shitting on my lawn.
I am saving my bag of soupy shit.
Oh, nice.
And when I catch one of these motherfuckers that lets their dog shit on my lawn and walks away, I am going to follow them home. And I won't take action. I'll just follow them, see where they live, in one night.
And dumped their soupy shit on their car.
Yes. After one of our podcasts, I will take my soupy shit bag, and it's got to be about 20 pounds
oh,
of soupy
no.
shit. And I will cut it open and dump it on their front porch or on their car or somewhere
nice.
Like that.
We
and
got to videotape
I will
that.
Leave a nice note as well.
That's nice. Oh, man. Yeah, we don't tolerate the shitting on our snow.
It's unbelievable.
I'll fucking flip out. I'll run outside and I'll fucking roundhouse him in the face. Like Chuck Norris. Chuckabee Norris.
So just if you listen to the show and you have a dog, just pick the shit up.
It up, even in the snow. It's easier.
Don't make it my fucking problem.
It's hard.
Because I got 20 pounds of soupy shit.
Yeah, ready for your ass.
Ready for you.
Okay, nice segue to Way of the Bob's mom.
I'm sorry about that, Way of the Bob. Maybe
That's
we should do
nice.
Something else before we play this phone call.
She says some really nice shit about us.
Why don't we let Phil do the news and then we'll
no,
play?
No,
I don't
we
feel
need
right
to play.
About it now. It's disrespectful.
No, I'd like to, you know, with the holidays and everything, we didn't, I wish we would have actually rung in the new year with a podcast, but I was sick as a dog, sicker than shit. And Way of the Bob's mom is one of our true fans. Way of the Bob's a big fan of ours, but Way of the Bob's mom, Annie, is a true fan of the show.
What does that mean, true fan?
True fan.
Now well, you're disrespecting all of our other
no,
fans? They're not
well,
true fans?
None of them call in. And Way of the Bob's mom called in. And I know Way of the Bob, I believe his grandma has been very ill lately, and he's had some trouble. And I think Spenny had some issues with a relative recently. And all of our thoughts go out to them. But anyways, Way of the Bob's mom is the only one that actually called in and left us a very nice holiday wish.
All right, then.
And here it is.
Hello, John and Scott. This is Way of the Bob's mom to wish you a very, very happy and prosperous new year. I hope you had a nice Christmas. I haven't been in touch for a while, but I'm still listening. Bye. Love you both.
She loves us both.
Who wouldn't, John?
I know.
We're attractive, we're young, we're intelligent.
I actually look a lot like Way of the Bob. Have you ever seen a picture of Way of the Bob?
I have.
He's very large, except I'm short. He's tall, with a goatee. And I think he's in the 300s. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
He needs a
W-O-T-B.
5X shirt.
But, right, he needs a 5X.
Redneck recital.
Oh, okay. I'm still a 3. I like a 4 once in a while to blouse when I tuck it in. But otherwise, 3 is fine with me.
Well, when do you think the conversation takes place where Bob says to his mom, yeah, refer to me as Way of the Bob.
I don't know, but I'm thinking
especially
Way of the
when
Bob.
You call this show, you have to. Dude, don't say Bob. You got to say Way of the Bob. All right?
She's got to be a lot like my mom. You've known my mom. She's squeezed your ass before.
Yes.
Okay. So Way of the Bob's mom probably is in tune with Way of the Bob as an individual. And my mom knows my history quite well. And she is loves to celebrate it, as you have been witness to, because she squeezed your ass.
Yes.
So she at some point still thinks that she's some sort of a teenager.
Don't we all?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think that's the charm of being a man in some respects, because we still look towards that, whatever, that sophomoric, sophomoric humor and
humor
and people like my mom, who probably years ago would be like, grow your ass up, in her later years thinks that's the greatest thing ever. because being a grandma, she witnesses that the fact that my son thinks farting is hilarious, she thinks it's funny as well. Where in past years, she'd be like, oh, ugh, you disgust me. Grow up. You know, but now it's the funniest thing ever.
Right on.
You know what I'm saying?
I think so. Anyway. Yeah. All right, let's turn it over to Phil.
Is Phil here?
Of course, John. I just tantalize. It's such a exhilarating experience.
Yeah, it's a titillating
listening
experience.
To you retell stories about your mother, who I know quite well, actually.
You do too, huh?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, she's like a doorknob. Everybody gets a turn.
Oh, I don't know if I'd say that about her. Mine wasn't exactly a turd. But thank you for noticing my new
fur coat. I shaved her
style.
Back, though. You probably won't recognize her next time.
Oh, I think that's very disrespectful.
It's not at all. As a matter of fact, she'd love that. that I've shaved her back.
Of course.
All right. Very uncomfortable silence there. Very awkward.
Well, I hope you, too, enjoy your holidays, because I certainly enjoy
my holidays.
Yeah, I'm still here.
You don't know what to say, do you?
No, not at all. No, I'm just...
I'm very drunk.
I'm speechless.
All right.
Well, don't worry. I brought the news in. That's my job.
All right.
Award-winning.
Are you ready?
Of course, I'm always
all
ready.
Right.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News... Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. Our first story tonight. John, Uranus and Neptune swap spits, a new bottle says. I'm sorry, make that Uranus and Neptune swap spots. Based on the density of materials at their surfaces, Neptune would have needed to move past Uranus about 650 million years ago into the solar system's evolution. This is very strong circumstantial evidence that for the first time, 50% of the solar system's history, Neptune was closer to the sun than Uranus, John.
That's great.
Next story.
Whoa! Sorry.
Still haven't found my heavy metal bumper there, then, right, John?
I forgot to look for it right. Earlier than
in our next story,
before.
High sugar diets found to be more harmful to obese people. And related news, alcohol may be harmful to alcoholics and crackheads should avoid crack. Next story,
wait,
John.
Wait, what's that again?
High fat, high sugar diets found to be more harmful to obese people. Next story, John. On the first day of Christmas, Santa gave to me a porn-filled device that plays MP3s. Daryl Hill of Cookaville purchased a MP3 player from Walmart for his 10-year-old daughter. He handed the player over to his daughter thinking it was new, when in fact the previous owner had filled it with pornography. There were video clips of triple X-rated sex scenes, and the pornography was so graphic that Channel 4 could not broadcast it. John, I brought some audio in. I forgot to mention that. If you could go ahead and play that audio right
he
now.
Did?
The porn audio from the MP3
the porn
player.
Audio.
And I'll continue with the story as you find the audio that I...
All right.
I wish I could take the thoughts and images out of her head, said Hill. The Hills had bought three MP3 players for their children that came from a Walmart store in Sparta.
The Hills have sound.
Sparta! It turned out that one of the MP3 players had been returned to the store from a previous owner who loaded sex clips, graphic war scenes, and lyrics about using drugs. The Hills want to know why Walmart would sell used merchandise as new in the first place, which
Seriously?
Is in violation of its own policy. That's it. Yes, this is the audio from the MP3 player.
Oh, my God, I want that people like nigger cock in my asshole. Yeah. All my fucking little holes. Fuck yeah. All my little cracker holes. Oh yeah, with big nigger dick. Oh, this is it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
fucking mouth.
La 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 la.
All right, Dajon, moving on. Next story.
Tete anus.
Pope declares war on Satan. Next story, John. GPS baby Jesus stolen again.
Ah.
With God's help, Jesus found across the street. Maybe next year they can just spring for an RFID baby Jesus. The folks in Florida noticed that their GPS-equipped baby Jesus was missing from his nativity and fired up the old GPS tracker. Turns out they didn't have to look far. Baby Jesus had been swiped Wednesday night and brought to the house across the street from the nativity. Deputies showed up at the door Thursday morning and hauled off the 18-year-old female culprit with a charge of grand theft. The statue is valued at $800, while the GPS system rings up at $400. And a girl is currently in jail with a bail set at $3,500. Next story, John.
Jail with a bail.
Bounty hunter associate caught naked in truck.
Naked.
Says he was changing wet clothes.
Oh, yeah.
A sidekick of TV bounty hunter Dwayne Dog Chapman turned himself into the authorities Friday after shopping center security guard reporting seeing him naked in his pickup truck performing a lewd act. But Tim Chapman's lawyer insists his client spilled juice on himself. It was
man
just
juice.
Changing clothes. The guard told Chapman to put his clothes on and get out of the truck, police said. After dressing, Chapman started his truck and drove over a sidewalk, nearly hitting the guard, then drove off. Tim Chapman's attorney, Brooke Hart, said it was all a misunderstanding. It was simply a man who wet his pants with orange juice.
Oh, shit.
Inadvertently, it was changing them, doing nothing wrong at all, and believing he had sufficient privacy to do it, too. Police said they are investigating whether to charge Chapman, 42. Next story, John.
Was it mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise. All-you-can-eat buffet for everybody except this fat ass who can eat all-you-can-eat anymore. Who cannot eat all-you-can-eat anymore.
He cannot.
A 265-pound man says a restaurant overcharged him for his trips to the buffet, then banned him and a 277-pound relative because how much they consumed during their visits. Rick Lavin, a 6'3" disabled offshore worker, said that he had been a regular at the Manchurian restaurant, eating there as often as three times a week. But on his most recent visit, he said the waitress gave him and his wife's cousin, Michael Borelli, a bill for $46.40, roughly double the buffet price for two adults. She says, "Y'all fat, y'all eat too much," Lavin said. Labatt and Borelli said they were felt discriminated against. "I was stunned that somebody would say something like that. I ain't that fat. I only weigh 277 pounds. The argument over the bill grew heated and the police were called. The police report states that the disagreement was settled when the restaurant said the bill was a mistake and the meal was complimentary. Labatt said he insisted on paying the bill but was told not to return. Next story, John.
Oh, fat ass.
This is a story about a Firefighter of the Year nominee, John. A Firefighter of the Year nominee, and he's been suspended.
Nominee.
A suspended Central Florida fire chief could lose his job over emailed photos from a crash scene that included at least one image of a female victim's exposed breasts.
Oh.
Umatilla Fire Chief Richard, or Fire Chief Dick, took photos of a 26-year-old woman being treated by emergency workers after she crashed her sport utility vehicle into a tree. Her right breast was exposed. Next story, John.
Wait a minute. This guy could go on thehun.com and see all the tits he wants.
Not from a crash victim, John.
But he's got to see the... Yeah.
Mother and son wail on father who stole... Mother and son wail on father who took son's iPod. A 13-year-old boy upset Friday afternoon that his father would not let him have his iPod bit the 46-year-old man and kicked him in the groin before he was joined by his mother in the pummeling. The father said that his son had become impatient because he wanted to use the family's computer to load songs on his iPod. But the father was using the computer at the time. The father left the room, and when he returned, the son had reset the computer and was downloading songs onto the device. The father took the iPod away and wouldn't let the son have it back, which sparked a scuffle. During the fight, the son bit his father on the finger in an attempt to loosen the man's grip on the iPod, breaking the skin. Then the son kicked his father in the groin.
Oh.
As they struggled, the 44-year-old wife and mother appeared and tried to determine what was happening. She punched her husband in the face several times.
Oh, shit.
Then she and the son left. The father told deputies she had a history of mental illness and had attempted suicide in the past. She was arrested and booked into Kitsap County Jail for fourth-degree assault. Next story, John.
You gotta hurry up. I'm gonna throw up.
Wisconsin man released after serving 18 months for having sex with dead horse. Now will return for another 9 months for having sex with a dead deer. A Wisconsin man convicted of having sexual contact with a dead deer has been sentenced to 9 months. Brian James Hathaway, 21, of Superior, had his probation revoked last month for using alcohol and marijuana, lying to his probation officer, and having unapproved contact with a minor child. Let me ask you this, John. Is there any way you can get approved contact with a minor child?
No.
And sexual relations with another adult and with a dead deer?
Oh.
A judge sentenced Hathaway to 9 months in jail during the hearing. Hathaway was sentenced to probation in March and was served at the time as a 9-month jail sentence he received in February. He was found guilty in 2005 of felony mistreatment of an animal after he killed a horse with the intention of having sex with it. He was sentenced to 18 months in jail and 2 years extended supervision on the charge, as well as 6 years of probation for taking and driving a vehicle without the owner's consent. Hathaway has just been released from prison for killing the horse when the deer incident happened. He is appealing his conviction on having sex with a deer. Next and last story, John. Here's a happy holiday story about a septic tank.
All right.
77-year-old Robert Schoff was just trying to clear a clog at his septic tank when he took a tumble and fell in head first. He became stuck with his feet in the air for an hour before his wife came to look for him. She couldn't get him out and called emergency personnel, who succeeded in pulling him out. "I thought it was the end of my life," he reflects. "Thank Lord. My wife saw me. I don't think I could have stood there any much more. It was one of the worst Christmas Eves I've ever had." And that's the news, John.
Wow.
Total Talk Nonsense with Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here. I hope you had a warm and wondrous holiday, and I look forward to the new year of TTN 2008.
No doubt.
No doubt, John.
It's going to be a special year.
Let's hope it's another award-winning year.
Last year, the W.
I'd like to come in for the prediction show when you
All right, because
I have a couple of predictions to make.
All right, then.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right, then. I'll be leaving.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Later.
All right. See you later. See you later.
All right. Then.
Wow.
Phil, checking in with the news.
All right. It's been another episode of Total Talk Nonsense with John Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And I think we're out of here, right?
We are.
We're done.
Out.
I am really drunk. And I got to work tomorrow, and I'm going to throw up.
Sweet.
Bye.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott
on Total Talk Nonsense.